to the other's gang. Two sisters, both curious and strange. A likely duo and they witty from the brain. It's the magic hour, Mercedes and Jay.
Greetings, boys and babes. It's the Magic Hour, a place where we navigate through life's peaks and valleys with all the vulnerability and shamelessness we can muster. With the help of world-class guests from all walks of life, we uncover new truths and valuable tools for manifesting our highest potential. I'm your host, Mercedes Terrell, along with my partner in shine, Jade Bryce.
Hey, you guys. Today we have on a fellow podcaster that is such a light in this world, and we cannot wait to share her with you.
Yes, we were actually on her show and it was a deep dive. I love how vulnerable she is with her own story, but also she was willing to go really deep and wide with us. We talked about spiritual awakenings, plant medicine, and using energy to create your life, which is actually the title of that episode. So check that out over on her show, the Mimi B Podcast.
Awesome. So let's get her on. Our guest today is a self-proclaimed transformation specialist. She has undergone the most incredible transformation herself, from being financially stressed, feeling lost in life, struggling with depression and full of insecurities, to now owning her craft and stepping into her power. She has drastically revolutionized her career, body, relationships, and her mindset. Her show, the Mimi B Podcast, is incredibly inspiring and highly motivational. Please help me welcome Mimi Bouchard to the Magic Hour.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm so excited to be on. I loved our interview on my show, and I'm very honored to be on yours. And I love both of you girls, so I can't wait to chat.
Yes, yeah. So I want to kick this off by getting into a little bit of your personal story of transformation, since you are the transformation guru at this point. what has kind of been the highs and lows that brought you to who you are today?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. And yes, I like to say that I'm a transformation guru because I've been through so much of it and I know what it takes. So I'm pretty young still. I'm 24 and I started my big transformation at the age of 18. I really wasn't living my truth for years and years growing up, and I was really just conditioned to be something I wasn't, and I was so scared what others thought of me all the time. So, you know, it was a very typical journey as a teenage girl, you know, struggling a lot with body image and not feeling good enough and going through waves of depression for sure and just partying a lot and not really living my truth, which I think a lot of people at that age go through, and at every age, of course, but it's super common in that kind of teen age range, right? Mm-hmm. So long story short, I went to university for a year because I did what I thought I was supposed to be doing. You know, that was kind of what I was just leaning on, always doing what I thought I should be doing, and I never felt fully me. And midway through that first year in university, I had this like quarter life crisis epiphany, and I realized that I just was not living my truth. And it was this huge wave that hit me. And around that same time, I decided to stop drinking and going out a little bit, or a lot. I completely cut it out. And I started reading this book, and it was the first personal development book that I read. It's called The Success Principles by Jack Canfield. And it opened my eyes to everything that I already deep down knew. You know, that book is full of like 67 principles that will take you from where you want it, or from where you are to where you want to be. And it was like very matter of fact, which really spoke to me at that time. And the first principle I'll always live by, and it's take 100% responsibility for your life. Mm. And that principle alone, you know, we all know it, but we don't know it, you know? So that changed how I looked at things. I was like, why am I acting like a victim and always going through things with that attitude of poor me, oh, this isn't happening to me. That person, you know, was raised in a wealthy family. They have this, they have that. And it was just, it opened my eyes to stop being a victim. Mm. So I stopped being a victim and I decided to create my reality and really step into my potential. And I decided to leave university, quit, and move, pack my bags and move to London, which
wow,
sounded crazy, but you know, it was really just, I needed to get out of my hometown. I grew up in Toronto. I needed to get out of there. It wasn't somewhere that really resonated with me. And as an 18-year-old, I was just ready to do something crazy, you know? And so, yeah, I decided to start my back then blog. I don't have it anymore, but I wanted to do something in writing and social media and just being my own boss in some way. And then I made that blog an online magazine. When I moved to London, I was really growing that. And then I did a lot of work in London that really, you know, threw me into the adult world. You know, I did this TV show that I was so naive, and it was great and for what it did, but, you know, definitely opened my eyes to what I wasn't. And I had to learn a lot in a really quick period of time. So I ended up living in London for 5 years and grew, completely transformed from the ground up. I got there, worked 3 jobs, actually 4 jobs, if you include my blog that I was trying to monetize, and hustled like crazy and wanted to meet people and network. And I went there knowing no one, and I left knowing everyone. Like, it was really, I did my best to just, you know, create in that city. And now, you know, 6 years later, I left London a year ago. I lived in Canada for 3 months, and then my boyfriend and I have just moved to the Bahamas 4 months ago. So we are now both entrepreneurs that work for ourselves, online businesses. And I really feel like there's so much in the middle there that I'm missing. But, you know, my transformation has been mental, physical, financial, spiritual. It's been everything, right? And I'm very proud of where I've come, and I'm excited to keep showing people what I've done and just telling them what's worked and what hasn't for me, and hopefully to inspire people. And now I have my podcast. I've been doing that for the past couple years, over 215 episodes on there. And then I also have my main thing, which is Mimi Method, my membership platform where I offer guided meditations and workouts and stuff. So that's my main thing right now. But honestly, it's been a huge journey, and I can't wait to dive into it. And I've used a lot of, you know, the spirituality, energy work kind of thing more recently than not, but it's been a game changer. I basically had to change who I was to change my life. Like, I am not recognizable to the person I was 5, 6 years ago, even 3 years ago. I'm always changing and evolving, but I feel like I'm always changing and evolving to a version of myself that is the most authentic me. Like, I'm unlearning all these things. That's kind of how I like to see it. I'm unlearning and taking the layers off to just become more me. So,
yeah, beautiful. Thank you for summing up your literal whole life in a few sentences, which I know is not an easy thing when we ask people to do that. But I know since you've been doing your show for a while, you have that down. So I appreciate the work that it takes to articulate it. You know, people listening to this are like, quarter life crisis. You didn't even make it to the quarter life.
I know. I say that, and then I think to myself, I want to live till I'm 150.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do think that having this type of you know, epiphany, or even whatever you wanted to call it, when it happened around 18 and you had that kind of shift or that dark night of the soul, you know, where you saw that you were living a life that wasn't exactly in alignment with what you want for your future. That does not happen for many people at that young of an age. I wonder, you know, what it is that it specifically made it happen for you. But moreover, I hope that the work that you're doing with your show and your what do I want to call your, well, basically your whole network of offerings that you now provide, and the work that we're doing with our show and the people that are in this space, are really helping people have that awakening sooner rather than later. Because I feel like that's like when we really start living, is when we start opening our eyes to the myth that we've been living in for all this time, and the story we've been telling us that's completely untrue because of our conditioning and our domestications, and finally crack into our true gifts and our true essence that we are, you know, the light that we can then shine onto the rest of the world. Like, that's why we're here. We're here to do that work, that stuff, not live in a myth our whole life. You know, that's just so unfortunate. So many people, I feel like, especially like my girlfriends, I feel like none of us really started getting into that awakening phase fully until 30s, where you start going, bro, I've been running this script for 3 decades, you know? So kudos to you for it happening earlier. one thing I wanted to pull out of what you said was the structure piece. I'm calling it structure, but you said that you had felt like a victim for a long time, or you had realized that you had been a victim really of the story, you know, a victim of the shame story, a victim of all these different facets of the story that the world was telling you you were, that weren't true, and, or that you should be this thing and compare yourself to this and all that. And you realized that that wasn't true. And then you found this book that gave you these 67 principles, you said, that were so logical and linear and this, you know, do this, that, and the other thing. And this is how you get from point A to point Z. And that structure, which structure we know you talk to us on your podcast, but we talk about masculine, feminine a lot, and structure is very masculine, whereas victim mindset is in that feminine, you know, toxic femininity or unhealthy feminine realm. So do you feel like that called to you, is the structure of it all and like being able to finally have a plan and a map to get to where you wanted to go?
Yeah, that's actually such an insightful question because I've never thought about it that way. I never thought that I was attracted to it because of the structure. I always thought I was attracted to it because of like the, just the decisiveness of it. And I guess that's almost the same thing. And, you know, it's funny, I now being my own boss and, you know, just living the life I am now, like I struggle with structure. I need more of it. So I guess I am subconsciously interested in doing things and reading things with structure. I like a plan. And, you know, maybe in the past before I found this version of me that really just wanted to head down, exceed in life. Yeah. I maybe put that masculine energy into other things like being not myself, like partying too much and being, you know, just not being me and trying so hard to change myself. And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that if it's a positive advancement and change, but I was just so hard on myself and I just hated myself. And you can't change from a place of hate towards yourself. So anyway, all to say, I definitely think, to answer your question, that structure was really needed for me. That structure, I think everybody can benefit from. And also just someone saying to you, someone successful saying to you, this is how you do it. And nobody in life that has something self-made is a victim. Like, you know, the victim card is so easy to play because you get empathy, you know, people, you're just saying it's not your fault, so you don't have to take responsibility. But when you take responsibility for your life, a beautiful thing happens where, yeah, for sure, it can be a bit heartbreaking looking back on your life and realizing that you created that. But then it can also be empowering because it can also make you so excited for your future because you know you can create it. So it was the biggest thing for me. And obviously that book has so many other principles that I still definitely follow a lot. And I think a lot of those principles as well come up in different personal development books. Like it's now since reading hundreds of those books, like it is really a similar theme that I see going on. And one day I'll write one of my own, but it is just a game changer, taking responsibility A and B, you know, just owning it and going and doing it. Like taking responsibility is one thing, but taking action is another. Like you just have to go and do it. And if I can do it, so can anyone listening. As much as people like to think that I grew up in a very privileged home and gave everything was given to me. And, you know, everyone loves saying that, but hell no, I did not grow up in that environment. And everything I've created is completely self-made. So yeah.
Yeah.
Good. And I love too, like, You brought up the book a couple of times and how much that was a tool in your transformation. I love how, you know, some people could read that book and not take much from it, but like you took it and you ran. And then now everything you're doing is becoming a tool in other people's transformations. And the same with Mercedes and I think one of our first books was like A New Earth. Was it A New Earth or his other for you?
The Power of Now.
Yeah. And then, you know, now we're doing this show and it's like a ripple effect, which is so beautiful. But I was curious, as far as the transformation and stepping out of victimhood, what other tools were really powerful for you?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, just in general, talking about more abundance and success, because in my life, I've been really good at like seeing opportunity in business ventures. I've been very good at manifesting money and opportunity. I'm a hustler when it comes to that. And I always have been. I just like making money, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I like being my own boss, and I like embodying abundance and creating that in my life. And it's funny because I want to stop my point there for a second and say that it's been really hard for me to manifest things like my best body. You know, like there are other areas that had been harder for me that now I've slowly but surely mastered. But going back to the money, if I was going to give another piece of advice on that, because I think that's something everyone can relate to, wanting more abundance. And, you know, I guess this does apply to everything else, but just knowing people that you really click with and being around people that have the same values as you and creating a circle, like the five people that you surround yourself with most are an average of you, and realizing that, that's a huge tip that I had to come to terms with as well. Like, your environment creates you. So I cut ties with a lot of friends from my childhood, not in an aggressive way, just like a casual, you know, distance, like was not traumatic. You don't want it to be really, there's no need for that. But I started hanging out and filling my time with people that made me feel amazing and that had big, big dreams like me. I met so many people that would hear my dreams and, you know, scoff at them. And I didn't want those people in my life because they would just be a damper on things, right? So to be honest with you, I think your environment is everything, and who you spend your time with is everything. And, you know, if you don't have anyone in your life that makes you feel really good about where you want to go, spending time alone for a little bit of time is healthy. I learned a lot about myself when I was going through a phase between kind of friends and I was alone a lot. Like, it's a really good place to be in to learn more about yourself. And obviously you don't want to be there forever and you want to put yourself out there and meet people, but, you know, who you spend time with really matters. And then also just creating daily structures within your routine have been game changers for me. Like, I don't remember the last morning I did not do a morning routine. My morning routine, I'm kind of known for my morning routine. I do it every morning, non-negotiable. And it's like a 2-hour long routine, and I can do it in 20 minutes, but I like to like really make my mornings mine. And back in the day when I'd used to like, you know, work for people, it'd be shorter, and I didn't do it all the time back then. But now, since I've really seen the crazy benefit of it, and my morning routine consists of like so much, like a journaling kind of section, meditation, and now I'm incorporating movement. But yeah, no, that's the number one thing as well that's helped me, just like daily routines, like having a routine in place and sticking to it, because that just assures that you'll get there, you know. Like, it's so simple, some of this stuff, but most of the population doesn't do it. And I don't want to be average, and I use average as a bad word, and some people hate me for it because they're usually in the victim mentality and like hate that word. And average is okay if that's what you want, but think about the average in today's world. Overweight, unhappy, addicted to something, whether it's social media, food, like, you know, negative news or whatever it is, that average isn't something I want, right? So I don't want to be average. And if you don't want to be average, you need to do things that average people don't do. It sounds so simple, but it's really sometimes something people don't realize.
And difficult. It's work. I mean, end of the day.
Yeah, but what's worse, you know, putting the work in now or feeling regret later?
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. We are work adverse in so many ways, but then we end up working harder to unwind all the time we spent not doing the work in the first place. I love that we literally landed back in structure with the answer to that question, which was fascinating to me. But you also are really into the mind-body connection, and I want you to touch on that with us a little bit, if you would.
Absolutely. And we can talk about body here, because for a really long time, I wanted a different body. And over the years, I've achieved that body, and I'm still on my journey with my body. And I think it's so important to love the skin you're in, but I also am an advocate of, you know, feeling your best and not being ashamed of wanting to look your best, mm-hmm. right? So I'm strong on that, love it or hate it. I think, you know, you achieving a body that you desire in a healthy, positive way, there's mm-hmm. nothing bad with that. So I wanted to do that. And, you know, the mind-body connection came into place when I started to meditate a lot. And I started to read a lot of Dr. Joe Dispenza's work, who is my number one idol. I love him so much. His work has changed my life more than anything out there. And I'm actually going to one of his seminars in January, which I'm very excited about.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So, you know, he talks about the mind-body connection a lot in many ways in his own kind of way. And I have realized over time that when I am moving my body in a certain way, when I'm feeling certain emotions and just being physically someone with my, you know, different posture and my movements and mannerisms, whatever it is, I actually manifest who I want to be more. So the mind-body connection in the sense of like working out, that's in my app, Mimi Method. I do workouts with that use a mind-body connection to help you actually achieve that body faster. When you're focusing on, let's say you're doing a leg lift, if you're focusing on your booty burning up and, you know, developing muscle as you're doing a leg lift, you will see that muscle grow faster. They've done tests on this, you know, they've done, even just being aware of your body when doing exercise, they've done tests on this. Like the group of people that are aware build more muscle or, you know, see more results. So from like a workout perspective, I really use the mind-body connection, but then also from like a everyday manifestation law of attraction perspective, I think the way that people go wrong a lot of the time when it comes to the law of attraction and energy work and manifestation is that they're just thinking the thoughts, but they're not feeling the feelings. Mm. So the mind-body connection is huge when it comes to that, because what I've realized for me, you know, with my successful manifestations, it's like, I need to embody that person's energy, that version of me that I want to be, her energy physically in my body. I can't just think like her. I need to be her. So in that sense, the mind-body connection is huge as well, because it just creates everything. We're so interconnected, you know, that brain and heart coherence that we have creates everything.
What is the practice there that you, that facilitates you being her instead of just thinking, you know, the things? So it's almost like you're choosing action over just insight, you know? What does it look like? What does that practice look like?
Good question. So I need to condition myself in meditation. And that's the way that I really can just, you know, train my mind like a untrained dog, you know, like I'm trying to think of an example. Like I need to train myself every day. I am always resisting. My ego is always resisting, but I do it and I force myself to do it because I know that that brings out the best version of me. Right. So the meditation thing, if I'm putting it off, procrastinating, I just have to do it. So when I'm in that state, I will condition my body to feel a certain way. And I do these in the meditations I offer on Mimi Method as well. They're kind of like more hypnotherapy than meditation. So that kind of scares a lot of people off if I say that. So it's meditations for now, but essentially I just get them and me to, and I do my own meditations as well. I sometimes do the Dr. Joe Dispenza ones because he's amazing, but those can be very intense and like definitely not for beginners. It's very complicated for a lot of people. So depends on my
meta meditation, really, huh? M-E-T.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. So I visualize it and I really just like focus on what it feels like to be that person, and I feel the feelings in my body and I don't stop until I feel it. And then a lot of the time that stays with me for a couple hours, and then I've been trying to do 2 meditations a day to kind of get back into that state. And then other than that, you know, a really great way for me to feel it in my body is actually walking meditations. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have ever done any. They're not very common out there, and I created some for my platform because I was like, oh my God, like I need to do more of these, because that mind-body connection, I think when you're moving and manifesting and getting in that state where you have like full body goosebumps, and that's what happens a lot of the time in my meditations. Like I just get full body goosebumps and I like feel my aura like go huge. Like it's like that vibe, you know? So when I'm doing that in my walking meditations, I feel like it just ingrains in my cells so much deeper. Like because when you're moving, your body is like in motion, right? And then you're manifesting and creating these feelings you want to feel, and then you're moving. So it's teaching your body not just to feel that emotion if you're sitting and meditating, it's teaching your body to feel these emotions when you're walking, and we walk all the time, right? So that they've been the most powerful for me, those meditations. And so to just answer your question, Mercedes, meditating has been one of the single-handedly like the most effective for me to actually change. And then journaling as well, and scribing, so like getting into that like meditative state and writing and stuff. But just meditating. Like I hate that that's the only biggest thing, but it really is. And I put it off for so long. And I used to hate meditating. I was one of those people that couldn't, because I just wasn't that person that could, you know, just sit and not think of anything. Like those headspace meditations, great for some people, awful for me. I can't do nothing. I've seen such results in my life through meditation without not thinking of anything. So I don't think, you know, maybe I should try that out more, but I don't like it.
Yeah. No. Go ahead. I was just going to say that the fact that you found the walking meditation really useful for you was, to my mind, like when you do something that's just a little bit of a distraction, but it's mundane and you could do it in your almost with your eyes closed, like walk. I mean, don't walk with your eyes closed, but you know what I'm saying? You can do certain things that are, you don't consciously have to be there while you're walking. We see people all the time on their cell phones. They're walking, they're on their cell phone. They're not even looking where they're going. Sometimes that ends up treacherous, but in a walking meditation, you're distracting that part of your mind that when you're sitting still in a very still meditation that wants to wander and wants to drag you all over the place to here and there, it's kind of chaotic. You're kind of distracting it a little bit with the action of walking. Cause you do have to have some subconscious thing that's like, looking, you know, like, okay, we're walking, we're moving our body. This is how one leg in front of the other. And so it gives you kind of a enough distraction, but not so much of a distraction that you can still have those passing thoughts that you really need to then bring up and look at. And finally they come to the surface. You know, I feel like I do that too whenever I get a massage, even like a painful one. When there's like the moments in between it being painful, all the thoughts kind of come up that you've been needing to think about because it's very still in the room. But then you're back into the, you know, your mind-body connection, having to deal with the pain of the meditate or the massage, or you're being distracted just enough to have epiphanies.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the walking meditation that I do is like breathing in for 4 steps, breathing out for 4 steps for 20 minutes. And the goal is to get to the point where I'm not having to count the steps. I'm just breathing in and breathing out for those 4 steps without counting, and it stills the mind. Is that what you're doing as a walking meditation?
That's so cool. I know mine are so different, and I should do stuff like that because that, again, clears the mind, you know, amazing. You feel really light and great after. But to be honest, like I get bored of that kind of stuff. Like my mind is so go, go, go that I love to really actively visualize what I want and like feel like I already have it. Cause I think that just puts me in the best mood. It's like, you know, how would you feel if you had everything that you ever wanted? Right. Mm-hmm. So that's the state I like to get into. And yeah, Jade, I should do some of those. I really should, but I haven't yet. My walking meditations that I've created, I've been working with an audio engineer, so he creates the music behind it. And it's a lot of like cinematic, really just like, how do I describe it? It's intense music and then also calm music. It's kind of like a movie soundtrack that just like has drops and makes you feel and has bridges. And like in certain times in the song, you know, I have from 10 minutes to 30 minutes walking meditation options. And they're all very different, but very similar. So it goes from like, you know, it's different songs with no lyrics. And then I kind of talk over it and they're energizing a lot of the time. So it's like, you know, walk as that version you want to be, like let go of everything you're not. It's motivational. You can do it. And like a lot of the girls that do my meditation say that they're crying in the middle of them, like tears of like joy and excitement. And, you know, like a lot of people run to them as well and say that they've never run so fast in their life. Like they're very energizing and emotional, but it's all words. So yeah. I speak in them and they're high pace, not high pace, but like they're not slow paced at all. And, it's like a vibey kind of song with like motivational talk that like makes you have full body goosebumps.
Yeah. So like visionary, it's asking people to do visionary work to, you know, to focus on a vision, but also affirmation, you know, also word affirmation stuff going
yeah,
on.
Yeah. It just like basically teaches your body how the energy feels that you want to experience essentially. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, you end up walking like the version of you that you want to be and like letting everything that you don't want fall behind you. And it's a very, you know, physically walking forward and letting go of everything that you don't want is like, incredibly powerful. And then like, you're just so energized and you walk differently. It's like walk as the version that you want to be,
right?
As a version of you that you want to be. Like your posture is better, you know, mm-hmm. you might be walking with more confidence and, mm-hmm. you know, just like feeling really good about life. And I'll send you guys my walk meditation.
Yeah, I gotta try
this.
I really
want you to experience them. They're my favorite awesome. Ones that I do. I'm really proud of them.
We'll definitely Thank have you. To try one, and then we'll put it on as a magic trick or something for other people to
yeah.
get yes. a look. Beautiful stuff. So we ask everyone who comes on the show a few questions that we'd like to ask you as well. The first one is, if you could hug your younger self right now, what would you say?
Oh my God, you can make me cry. Doing inner child work is something I'm still doing, and it's everything. I would hug my younger self and just say, everything is going to work out exactly as you want, but better. Mm. That's what I would say to her. Yeah. It's going to be okay.
How old was she?
It's beautiful.
You're hugging her.
Oh, wow. Between 8 and 11. I don't know which.
Okay.
But that kind of age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have so much love for my younger self and so much compassion for her. I used to hate her. It was so bad. I went through such a phase of guilt and shame towards her and, you know, regret not living the way I wanted to as a young girl. And I went through a lot. You know, I don't talk about this often, but when I was like in my preteens, like I went through a really bad place. Like I like was like self-harming, like bulimic, like it was really bad.
Hmm.
I'm going to cry. But, you know, I had to go through that really young. Like I've been through a lot really young. So I could come out, you know, at this age and do what I have to do. And I think I should be more open about that. I'm just not. It's still something I'm trying to heal. So
you're yeah. doing the work now.
Yes.
Super beautiful. Thank you for that share.
Yeah.
Do you think that if you would have been able to tell her that at that age, she would have believed you?
Mm.
Honestly, yeah, I really always had something in me knowing that I was here to do more than I thought. I don't know. I didn't know if I believed in myself or not. Like it was just kind of messy in my mind. But I always had faith, and that's one thing I'll say. I always had faith. Mm-hmm. I did have faith a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I told myself that when I was a kid, but I didn't actually believe it. I was just trying to be positive.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you could have the whole world read one book, which I'm guessing it's a Dispenza one, which would it be?
Oh my gosh, that is such a good question. Oh, the Joe Dispenza ones are really complicated sometimes. So if I was going to be realistic to tell the whole world to read a book, because like I want people that read it to like really understand it,
mm-hmm.
you know, definitely go read the Joe Dispenza ones. I would say, which one? Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. That one's really good.
That's probably a good starter.
Yeah, I think that's.
Yeah, that's a good starter if you're going to do a Joe Dispenza one, because his other ones are super sciencey, and I'm like, okay, I already believe it all. Just get me to the point, you know. But I would say The Success Principle is that book that changed my life, because it's a very good book for beginners, you know?
I had never heard of it.
Yeah. Jack Canfield, he's the guy that wrote all the, or created all like the Chicken Soup for the Soul books. Mm-hmm. So it's like very easy read, but you know, everyone would understand all the principles, and it's very good. Like, you know, it's like the Bible to me, to be honest. Like, so, yeah, I would definitely say that one.
It's called The Success Principles.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you could whisper one phrase to everyone on the planet, what would it be?
Oh my gosh. You are enough.
Yes.
That's good.
Because if everyone had a little bit more self-love, I truly believe that the people that don't have self-love are the ones that try to hurt others, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it all starts, and I know it's such a cliche thing to say, it all starts from within, but it really does, because if you love yourself and you feel like you are truly enough and you're truly happy, you're not going to try to destroy the world or people around you, or you're not going to be the one that's, you know, writing mean comments on random celebrities' photos on Instagram. You're not going to be the one that, you know, honks at someone for like 10 seconds when they're, you know, whatever. Like, those people are just unhappy within themselves at the core, because happy people don't do those things. They value how they're feeling too much to get out of that state, you know, most of the time. So I would say, yeah, you're enough. And just, you know, you can keep working. This is one thing, the biggest realization I've had, especially over the past few years. You can still be working towards a better version of yourself while loving yourself now. Revolutionary, you know? So that's something that I would say for sure.
That is really profound. You know, it seems simple, but it's, if you really think about it, it's super profound, in the sense that we do always project into the future, like, well, when I get there, then I'll be lovable and I'll be worthy and I'll be enough. But that's not the truth. You are that now. And like you're talking about energetically, if you can embody who you want to be right now in a vision, in a dream, in a walking meditation, then you are being it. I mean, you're energetically it. Scientifically, you are it. So you already are, you know?
Yeah.
We say that a lot on the show. You already are. And you're right about hurt people hurt people. Happy people are not hurting people.
Exactly. You know, there'd be so many less fights and war and all of this stuff if people just loved themselves.
Do the inner
work. Sounds so simple. Before we let you go, where can people find you online?
Yes, so my Instagram is probably where I hang out most, at Mimi Bouchard. And then my website is mimimethod.com, and it's about to be relaunched right before New Year's. It's still live right now, but the new website will be up soon, which I'm really excited about. And then my podcast is the Mimi B Podcast. You guys should go listen to the episode I did with Mercedes and Jade. It was really good. And honestly, both of you, thank you so much for having me. This is a very nice conversation. You're both such great interviewers.
Thank you for being so open.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for the work you're doing and being such a light. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Mwah.
Well, she was just a little ray of sunshine, wasn't she?
Yeah, she's very, I'm curious how old she is. Because when she said that,
24?
24. Oh, 24. Holy hell.
That's what I said. She said she started having, you know, this kind of awakening at 18. Right.
I know. And then she went to London at 19. I missed the 24 part, but.
That's what I said. You haven't made it to your midlife crisis yet, lady.
Oh, well, she said quarter. Yeah. So when she said quarter.
Even quarter.
It's like Gotsy. Like they started. I think we started young too, but we didn't actually like start walking the path. We were just standing at the door listening for a little while.
Somebody want to invite me in?
But yeah, she's experienced a lot by 24.
It's for really cool. Sure. It's amazing. And I hope that this, you know, these next generations coming up really get to finally step into that earlier, because I think the earlier and earlier we get to do it, maybe it just becomes part of our birthright and we're not having to do this part of the work anymore.
And I'm glad like that I'll raise my kids this way, but I just can't imagine if I was reading Dispenza books in my early 20s.
Right? That's what I'm understanding them.
And integrating. Can you imagine then when I started my job at Bellator?
I know. you probably would have taken a whole different path even, because you've been a different person by then. This work is really, it is transformative, because you become a different person. I mean, of course you do in any phase of your life to some degree, but this is extreme. And that's why I think when we talk about transformative work, it's hard to say. The word is there, not because the obviousness of we're all evolving all the time, because we are, but because this is like a big transformation. This is like a literal almost shift from one type of being to the next.
I just feel really proud of her, and I'm glad that it seems like the trend is for it to start younger. Like, especially, you know, that's the perk of social media, is like, we weren't exposed to this stuff when we were young, and people are being exposed to it at a young age now. It's really cool.
Some of the most profound shit that I discover comes from social media now.
100%. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. We've even found so many of the people we've had on our show
through
social media.
Almost all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. I love it. I love that it's evolving into something that can be so helpful too.
Yeah, it is. What is your magic trick?
Oh, my magic today. My magic trick today is to eat the rainbow. And no, I ain't talking about Skittles, y'all. I'm talking about eating whole foods in a variety of colors. I may have talked about this on the show before. I may have even done this as a magic trick early on in the show, but I needed it reminded to me this weekend. So I decided I'm going to say it to the world again, because we probably all need the reminder. So eating a variety of color of whole foods basically ensures that you are getting a well-rounded, nutritious meal every time you do that, because the color of a food, a whole food, like whether it be grapes or a purple cabbage or a green lettuce or orange carrots, you know, whatever the food is, the color actually indicates different nutrients in food. So I don't know if you knew that, but that's kind of cool. Different minerals and nutrients that that food provides, different things that it will do for your body. And so when we can have a big variety of color and eat the rainbow, you get all that well-rounded benefits. So the way I first heard of this was actually from a naturopath doctor of mine who I was making a diet plan with. And it was largely about eating the rainbow, because she said that, you know, when you make yourself a salad, for instance, make sure it has all the colors of the rainbow, because we don't think of a salad that colorful. We think of a green salad, right? Mm-hmm. So make sure it's got the green, but it's got some maybe carrots on it. It's got some berries maybe for different colors there. And it's got some purple cabbage. You know, you get the idea. Mm-hmm. So as colorful as you can make it, maybe you have some sunflower seeds or some cashews or whatever. The better.
Getting hungry.
Oh, yeah. I know. And of course, it's a whole food. So again, it's not, you know, you can't do a Snickers bar for brown. A Twinkie for yellow.
Oh my gosh. That's really funny.
Oh, you can't do Captain Crunch with the rainbow colors in it. Or
I'm just going to do Fruit Loops. I got it all. So, oh, that's funny. That's I like that.
That's my magic trick. What about you, Jade?
Mine is the color red. It is using your period or the full moon, if you're a man, as a reminder to release what doesn't serve you. So like your body, you know, when we release all those tissue, like we release all that blood, we're releasing what our, what like our body doesn't need. So it's like a monthly reminder to like think, like Mimi was saying, like what friendships are not serving me for my highest good right now. You know, what in my daily, you know, routine is not really serving me right now. What, diet habit, just anything that isn't serving you, what can you release, you know, each month as you also like physically shed what doesn't serve you? And again, for men, you can use that as a full moon. I know a lot of women bleed on the full moon, and that's why it's called a moon cycle. That's why a lot of women call it a moon cycle. But I know this morning I saw that it was full moon. Mm-hmm. I was cramping a little bit. I automatically assumed I was on my period. So I was like, oh, okay, I'm in my shedding mode. And I totally like started that. And then I posted, because the thing I'm going to start now that I would invite you to also do is in that 3 days around the full moon, or in that bleeding or shedding stage for a woman, to also abstain from social media, to just really tune in, take more time for yourself, PMS, prioritize myself, like we just talked about a couple episodes ago with Alyssa Vitti. Mm-hmm. So I posted on Instagram and I was like, okay, I'm starting this. And then I realized I didn't start my period. Probably a couple more days, but oh well. But yeah, I would invite everyone listening to not only take it as a reminder to release what doesn't serve you, you know, really, really seek out if there's anything that you can let go of. Mm-hmm. And even if it's just sometimes you just donate a bag of clothes to Goodwill. Like sometimes we're just hoarding. It doesn't have to be something really hard. You know, it can just be something like symbolic of letting go. And then the extra invite would be to also take a couple days off of social media, because although it is a very powerful tool for growth, like we said, it's really nice to just have a couple of days off. And I know for me, I've been on Instagram for probably what it's been around 7 years now. And I've never taken a fast except for like the days of ceremony, which is like 24 hours, because I've always worried that, well, here now it's like, I want to promote the podcast. I want to make money. I want to like up my engagement, all things that are career based. Mm-hmm. And then also I like really thrive with structure. Like I love calendars. I love looking what, like knowing what my next week looks like. And although that's trauma related, that is like a good thing for me. That is how I thrive. Mm-hmm. And so having this structure of like, okay, these 3 to 5 days every month is when I take a break. It for some reason, it makes it less scary to me. And it also mm-hmm. makes it, it gives it more of a purpose for yeah. me.
You almost so those, can look forward to it. And it's healing from the narrative that we grew up under and the shame mm-hmm. we grew up under.
And then it becomes part of routine too.
I think that this episode has definitely woven a thread through it about structure. So yeah, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. And when talking about something so feminine, like a menstrual cycle, but this can be called periodic, pun intended, periodic purging. Or
ooh,
yeah,
I like.
So I love that, and I also wanted to just touch on. You said that that women often menstruate on the full moon. I've also heard that women often ovulate on the full moon, and
Well, if they period on the full moon, they usually ovulate on the new moon.
On the
and
new
then,
moon.
And then vice versa. If they normally ovulate on the full moon, they tend to bleed on the new moon.
Wait, I think you said it twice the same way. Whatever, but we know what you mean, vice versa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I have no idea the facts behind this. I just know this is something I heard and I thought it'd be interesting. So I'm going to say it out loud here. But ovulation on the full moon, they have this idea, whoever wrote this blog I was reading about it, that it would allow for, in a very primal setting, you
mm-hmm.
know, without real lighting. Yeah, it would mm-hmm. allow for men to see women
yeah.
day in and day out during that time and find them and be able to mate with them. So,
well, I ovulate on the new moon where it is dark. Don't find me.
Yeah, please don't find me. So, that's interesting, though. I love the whole idea that we are so attached to this planet in such a embedded way, and the moon yeah. and everything, you know, involved yeah. here.
Yeah.
Because we are creatures of the earth.
All right, magic muppers. Thank you so much for tuning in and taking this journey with us. If this episode held some magic for you, please share it with your friends and family. This would mean so much to us. And don't forget to join us on our Instagram page at The Magic Hour and let us know what your favorite episodes have been so far. We appreciate all your feedback and want to know what is lighting you up.
Yes, and we didn't remind you this time, but now I'm gonna, about writing us a review, because that really does allow our show to populate to the top of the page when someone goes and looks at podcasts. So please, if you enjoyed the show, if you got a nugget of value out of it, write us a quick review. It can be just a few words and we will appreciate it so, 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 so much. We release a new episode every Monday, you guys. You can catch us again next week or go listen to some of our past episodes in our podcast library now. We'll meet you there. Until then, be a light.
Quick disclaimer. We are not medical professionals, so following any of our protocols or advice should be done at your own risk, people. And please remember to always, always do your own research. Tap into that extraordinary growth mindset we all have access to within ourselves and seek out your own answers. Come on, guys, you know the deal. And by the way, if you are a medical professional or an expert in any topic we cover and you feel we are not giving accurate information about it, please find somewhere to contact us. Contact us via social or email us at our website and let us know. A major goal of ours in doing this podcast is to bring value to people's lives by sharing helpful insights and info. So we welcome being corrected at any time, and we'll be happy to share any of our fuck-ups with our listeners so as to get us all back on track to discovering our happiest, healthiest selves.